Hey everyone, so we actually realized after recording that there's so much to say about Erikson stages. We're such big fans that we are going to make this a two-part episode. So this is going to be part one, and we're just going to cover basically the adolescent phase. So keep an eye out for part two.
Today, we come at you with a topic that ventures out of the Freudian psychoanalysis. So, as you guys know, we both study psychoanalysis and we are psychoanalysts in training. And we talk a lot about Freud on this podcast because he is the founder of psychoanalysis. And kind of no matter what you talk about, there is always this foundation of Freud's work. But of course, there are also other analysts present and history. That have had an influence on the theory, on the therapy school, on therapy in general. And today we're going to talk about someone else.
Right, so Erik Erikson was also, I don't know, people say that he's a psychologist, but I would also call him a psychoanalyst. And he kind of branched out when it came to development. And I think, I mean, there's two differences between Erikson's stages of development and Freud's. And I think the first difference is pretty obvious. It's the fact that Erikson's stages go way past the age of, like, I know Freud also mentioned, puberty and later stages, but he didn't really go into any detail when he mentioned them. So Freud's psychosexual stages famously kind of end around six.
Yeah, and we did a whole episode about this.
Yeah.
So if you guys, or wait, do we, yes, we did a whole
Yeah, we
episode
did.
about this. So if you guys haven't heard that yet, go check it out.
Yeah, so they kind of end around six. And I don't mean end, I just mean this is where he started getting very vague.
Yeah, and like his main emphasis is on the years before the Oedipus complex, so before around the age of five, six. Yeah.
So Erikson really, really takes this development, I think, a lot more seriously than Freud post 6 years old. And he goes on to literally up to the time that you die. And I would say that the second main difference is that Freud's stages of development, when we talk about them, we say psychosexual. And this basically just means that he put a lot of emphasis on the sexual development of people. But Erikson had, like, a little bit of a different point of view, and he calls them psychosocial. So basically, what Erikson thought was that we face kind of a social crisis in each stage, and our ability to deal with that social crisis or crisis from our environment or society means, like, successfully completing the stage of development. So it is a little bit different, but this does not mean that he disagrees with Freud.
Exactly. And what I really like about Erikson is that I think also when you read it on your when you hear about it sounds a bit more relatable, just alone how he named the stages. Whereas Freud said oral, anal, la la
Yeah.
la, Erikson's stages are called infancy, early childhood, preschool, school age, etc. So it's more like we can remember when that was. And what Erikson also says is that in every stage, there is one main conflict, and it's always a trust versus mistrust, autonomy versus shame. So it's very clear almost when you read it. And it's so funny because for me, whenever I hear about his theories and I really enjoy reading him, it sounds like a video game or like a
Yeah.
game, because it's like you kind of have to complete one level of development. And then you get to the next one, and you have to complete that one again and resolve the conflict in a way. And
Dude, it literally also, like, the funniest part for me is, like, the acquisition of virtues. It's like collecting coins in a video
Yes.
game. Like, now you got will. Now you got purpose.
Exactly.
Now you got confidence. Like, you literally have to, like, get these virtues. Like, you don't have them before.
I mean, we cannot go into every single stage because there are so many, and I think it might even be confusing, especially because we've talked about the early developmental stages in the episode about the psychosexual development. And today we kind of wanted to focus more on the stages of adolescence and young adulthood. So adolescence would be 12 to 18 years, and then young adulthood would be 19 to 40 years, which I think is amazing because that is so optimistic. Like, if you're
Definitely.
40, you're still a
You're
young
still a young
adult.
adult. And, like, obviously, we'll mention the last two stages, but I don't think they're super relevant for us. But just to, like, briefly say something before we go into the stages, the interesting thing that I think is very similar between Freud and Erikson is, like, the one key aspect of development that they really, really agree on. And it's basically that, like, if you successfully complete a stage, then that is what kind of provides you with the tools to complete the next stage. And failure to complete a stage of development, which is something that Freud was very into, like being stuck. If you fail to complete a stage of development, you kind of are limited and unable to further develop. And that's why kind of figuring out what went wrong in these stages is so important so you can progress.
It's good for us to talk about adolescence and young adulthood because, okay, we are young adults, obviously, and most of our listeners, probably all of our listeners, are also young adults. But even adolescence is a time that's not so long ago, so you might be also able to remember yourself better at that age than, you know, when we say, like, oh, when you were 3 years old, this might have happened. So,
Yeah, and also these ages that are provided are not for everybody. Like, some of us might still be in adolescence. I remember when we actually had a lecture about this in university, some people really said that they are still in the adolescent phase, and it doesn't matter if you're 25 or 35, you can still be in, like, different phase that you're than you're supposed to.
Definitely. So let's start with adolescence. So Erikson says adolescence, or I guess not him only says that, but many people, it's like from 12 to 18 years. And what Erikson says is that the main conflict of adolescence is identity versus role confusion, and that the most important events during adolescence are social relationships. Now, this identity versus role confusion is something that I find so interesting, and looking back, I relate so
Yeah,
much.
same.
Basically, what he says is that obviously puberty or adolescence is the end of childhood. It's like the separation that you have with childhood, and that brings a lot of anxiety with it because you're kind of in between roles. You know, are you a child? Are you an adult? So during this time, you kind of have a very wobbly sense of identity, and you have this extreme tendency for self-exploration, kind of this question, you know, who am I? And it's also a phase where, because you are so insecure in your identity, you idealize others so much, which you see, for example, in teenagers being obsessed with even celebrities or something, like having these really dominant role models, but also having this extreme urge of having super strong, like, friend groups and cliques, etc. This is all because you, in your identity, feel kind of so weak and so unestablished. So that is what he means with this main conflict of identity versus role confusion. Also separating from the parents, but not being able to fully separate because you still live at home and you're still confronted with them.
Yeah. I think when we look at our adolescence, it's always those years of cringe.
Yes.
It really is, and it's because you're really like you're working hard. That's your goal. You're trying to figure out who you are, so you have to really explore who you are in very embarrassing ways. And
Even
I
like
think,
clothes, makeup,
yeah,
remember? Like the shit that you pulled. Ugh, cringe, but
totally.
also so glad that I did it.
Exactly. And I think also the interesting thing about this, I didn't know that Erikson coined the phrase identity crisis,
Yes.
which is great.
Copyright Erik
Totally
Erikson.
love that. But it really fits to when I think about my adolescence. And I think something that's very interesting to me is just to briefly say the stage before is like when you go through school age, which is the stage before, it's all about developing a sense of pride in your like abilities and your accomplishments. And I think it's so crazy that each stage you like successfully complete the stage, and then all of a sudden you're back at square one in the next stage because you're finally like proud of yourself, you're feeling good, you're confident, and then all of a sudden you're like, who am I? And like, who am I is the biggest insecurity and kind of self-doubting thought you can have.
Exactly. And this is why I love these stages by Erikson so much, because when I look back at my teenage years and stuff that we all know, when you look back, the way we dress, the haircuts we tried out, the makeup, all of these things are almost this desperate way of finding an identity and this extreme sense of bonding always with friends, with groups, you know, being part of something. It's all part of this identity versus role confusion conflict. And what Erikson also says is that the main interest in that time is social relationships. So it's this constant thought of how am I being perceived by others, meaning that as teenagers, we have this extreme wish for being mirrored. So projecting our insecurities on other people. And then seeing ourselves through the eyes of them, being confirmed through the eyes of them, because we cannot give that to ourselves. And he says there's often even an over-identification with groups, with idols, with cliques, with sexual objects, even. This is why, as a teenager, you constantly also fall in love or you have a crush on someone. And what I really find interesting is where Erikson disagrees with Freud. Is that, of course, Freud said that puberty is super important because it's a reactivated phase of the Oedipal phase. And while Erikson doesn't necessarily disagree 100%, he also mentions it, you know, he appreciates the thought, but he says that puberty is not necessarily only about sexuality. Of course, you cannot deny that also biologically, you know, your hormones are heightened, your drives increase. But he really puts this emphasis on the social relationships. And he even says that this first, I don't know, almost encounter with your sexuality is due to this identification with others and this strong need of identification with others. And it's not because of the Oedipal phase, which I find very sympathetic. You know what
I
I
do
mean?
too. And I think he even puts it in such a nice way, like always talking about collecting things, like collecting beliefs, ideas, thoughts. But really, when you think about that stage, for me, it's much more about rejecting things. And it's about rejecting, you know, what your parents have told you up to that point. It's about rejecting what school has been telling you to do. It's about creating your own beliefs. And for me, when you talk about contradicting, this is where it's so contradictory, which is the most interesting part about it, because it's almost like you need to exhaust. You need to just like you said, you need to experience the cringe and like you're glad you did it because you almost need to get it out of the way. Because interestingly enough, the completion of this phase, if you successfully go through adolescence, you have again achieved the ability to live by society's standards and expectations. So for some reason, being this rebellious teen and desperately trying to find your own identity and separating yourself from society somehow makes you into a great member of society. I think because you also understand, you know, where there needs to be compromise and where you need to actually work with the people around you and the world that you're living in to kind of get by, because you kind of realize it doesn't work very well for you if you just hate everything and decide to be a solitary being. But yeah, I think it's so interesting that you end up with an ability to be the opposite of kind of what you were going through during that whole phase.
It is super interesting. And I don't know how it is with you. I remember when I was like at the beginning of puberty or adolescence, you know, like 12, 13, 14. It's so funny because I always saw these movies, high school movies and stuff, where everyone was like 16. And then I always thought, oh my God, 16 is like the coolest age and my life is going to be great when I'm 16. You know what I mean? You always looked up to these like two more years or whatever of being a bit older. And you feel so grown up and mature. But now looking back, I really, really don't envy anyone who is a teenager. And I almost want to hug every teenager that I see and just tell them, you know, it's getting better. And they might not even have a bad time at all. And I don't know how it is for you, but I really, really don't envy anyone who's a teenager, because I know you feel so grown up and mature and everything. But looking back, it is what you said before, this... you establish and you reject all these rules and you want to reject all these rules and be your own person, but you're so limited because you have to stick to rules that are put on you from your parents, from school, whatever. Just the fact of like going to school every single day, you know what I mean? Learning about things that you don't want to learn. Like, I don't know, it sounds like I'm critical of going to school. I'm not. But I don't know, looking back, I can really relate and still remember that feeling of being so torn, of like being a kid and being an adult. And Erikson also, interesting enough, says that because of this conflict and because many teenagers are so torn, this is why often teenagers end up in delinquent behavior or pathological behavior. Even if we think about eating disorders, you know, this is another factor that plays into why they often start in puberty, because it's a kind of tool to gaining control over your identity in life. Of course, other factors play into that, because hopefully most teenagers don't end up in some pathological behavior.
Right.
But it definitely is something that needs to be considered as well. And he says that we all, as teenagers, have this extreme anxiety of almost choosing an identity during that phase and then having to live with that for the rest of your life and having chosen a wrong sense of identity, which is funny because it does, you know, still change and develop.
Yeah, definitely. But it does, I was about to say, it does kind of like, now that I'm thinking about it, it's a little bit stressful. Because,
yes.
Because, like he also says that our personal identity gives us like an integrated and cohesive sense of self. And that integrated and cohesive sense of self does like endure through the rest of our lives. Mm. And, although like our personal identity does change by our experiences, the one that is formed during those years is kind of like the base of what you will have for the rest of your life, or kind of like the place that you'll always go back to. You might add some more whatever levels in the video game, but But you're still going to go back to what you've created during adolescence. And that makes me really like stressed out because I feel like no teenager should ever be trusted to do anything. And like, I would not give myself that task at like 13 years old
But
because I would not trust myself to actually like acquire beliefs and thoughts that are helpful for me later on, especially like when you think about Erikson, his phases go on for the really the rest of your life. And it actually makes a lot of sense because we're all still trying to kind of undo these beliefs and this kind of identity that we've created. Because a lot of it was not good and was not healthy, and we watched too many weird movies or listened to too many romantic songs. And we do have a lot of beliefs. When we talk about beliefs, it's such a problem for us, especially in analysis. We have so many false beliefs.
True.
And it seems like a lot of these were created during our adolescence.
Very true. And what you said before just made me think that, such a big part of our identity is established during those years. And I was thinking, like, oh my God, that's so, as you say, that's like so stressful. But then if you think about it, okay, ages 12 to 18, that's 6 years. And also just remember the way you even looked at age 12 and the way you looked at 18. That is such a huge difference. And then that's 6 years of your life, right? And compared to that development in that phase, in all parts of your life, from school to ending school, from your looks, from even, I don't know, being with friends, from being basically a kid at 12 and then maybe drinking alcohol, maybe from then to drinking alcohol at 18, stuff like that. There's such a huge development. And then think about, I don't know, ages 21 to 27. That's also 6 years, but I don't know, maybe that's just my thought right now, but the development in that those years is also there, but it's definitely not as obvious. Just also because, you know what I mean? Just from looks. When you look at yourself from 21 and then 27, yeah, you probably look a bit older, maybe a bit rough, but it's not the same as when you're 12 and then 18.
Definitely, but my thought is that you still, like, yes, you successfully complete the stage. You're like equipped with the ability to be a functioning member of society. But my issue with this is that you've still created beliefs and you've still created identities at the age of 12 that are still there.
Of course, but you've also created identities at the age of 4. They're still there. Like, I don't know. I don't think that sounds like multiple personality disorder or something, that you just have all these identities within you. It's
No,
not.
sorry. It is the same identity, but I'm just saying like it's like almost making so much sense to me why it's so much work to get rid of false beliefs.
Of course, of course.
Because when I think of myself, and especially during that phase, because it's almost easier to go and think about early stages of development because you can just tell yourself, I don't remember.
Yeah, or you're like, that's my parents' fault,
Yeah, or you're like, oh my God, it must be because I was going through the anal phase and whatever. Like, we have so much theory that explains so much. It becomes almost a little bit less personal. But when you think about being 12 or 13 or 15, there's not like we have Erikson's theory now, which is very helpful, but it's also, again, not super theoretical. So you really have to think about what you were thinking back then. And that's where I'm just realizing like how many false beliefs I put into my head and are probably still like lingering.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. This just makes me think, and I always think that, like, I think the work psychotherapeutic work with adolescents in general is super important because you can prevent so much because it
Yeah.
still is such a important time of shaping who you are. But if I just have this thought that ideally everyone who turns 12 needs to go to psychoanalysis and, like, you know what I mean? Like, work through their childhood and then they might have a better development in in adolescence, which of course would be complete bullshit because you just need to develop, you know, and deal with it later or not deal with it. But I just had this thought, imagine you enter like puberty and you're
I
like,
mean, it's not a bad thought.
here's your 300 sessions of analysis, let's go.
It's really not a bad thought. I think it would be very helpful.
But imagine all 12-year-olds are in analysis. This would be hysterical because then they would not be just carefree kids, you know, they would be like always talking about their analysis.
My God. It would be like this podcast in 12-year-old. It would be like, well, my therapist said that I
Exactly.
can't be doing that, so
Yeah, but listen, this brings me to a very concerning question for me is I don't know how you guys feel about this. Maybe you have younger siblings when you listen to this, or just some contact with teenagers these days. And I never know, I wanted to use the word now, I don't know what they are. Are they millennials? Are they Generation
I think they're
Gen
Gen
Z?
Z.
I think so too. Okay, let's talk about Gen Z. And I feel like, because I have a brother who's Gen Z, and as much as I love him, I sometimes feel bad for him because they didn't have this weird phase. If you go on the
Yeah.
street and you see teenagers, because of Instagram and TikTok and whatnot, they look like fucking models. You know what I mean? Or they're
They
so
look
styled.
amazing.
It's
It's
insane.
crazy.
And it, but I'm not. I don't envy that because, again, I'm very glad I had those phases and I wonder what it will do to them and their sense of identity later.
Well, the problem is that it's nothing independent. Like it's a very, and I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing, but like I feel like the identity of Gen Z is so cohesive.
Yeah.
They
Yes.
really, really have like a strong sense of a shared identity.
I agree. But then I also wonder, maybe this is just our perception, you know? Maybe whatever they are wearing now, they will look back in 10 years and be like, what the fuck was I
We're just
thinking?
wearing the same thing, so we're also gonna look back and think that.
Well, you know what I mean? Maybe we just see this from the outside and judge it, but maybe they still have this experience. Who
No,
knows?
I really think it is, there is a point to it, and I think it's definitely, maybe like we're making it a lot more extreme than it is, but I really feel like there's a difference now, especially when you have all these social media tools kind of to get these things, because I didn't know where to buy the things that celebrities were wearing. You know? Like, I didn't know where to get them.
Celebrities.
No, but like now
Yeah. Yeah.
you can kind of, I don't know even how to, you can consume everything that you see.
Yeah, I know. This is true.
Everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And even thinking back when we were teenagers, you would have these like idols and celebrities that you would be obsessed with, but the information you had about them was limited to like cheap like
Yeah.
magazines, and a lot of it would just be fantasy and stuff. You know what I mean? And just you had much more of an idea of them in your head. But now you can literally go on their Instagram and you know everything about their life.
You can go on their live stream.
You can even buy their clothes, like all these celebrities selling their closets.
It's
And here
crazy.
I am, and no one wants to buy my Depop. Like, what the fuck's happening?
Hey, you had a great stand at the flea market.
That's 5 years ago, Lola. Anyway, what I also think is super important to mention, which is something that actually really concerns me, as I also started working with patients and stuff, and I'm very interested to see how this is going to develop in the future, is because of COVID and all the isolation that COVID brought with it and the anxiety. I really think it has not been communicated enough, especially by the government and healthcare, etc., that teenagers are really a group of people that is so strongly affected by the situation. And not only now, this is the thing, but their development is going to be affected because it is so important for them to have these social relationships. It's a time where your friends are more important than your family, and that's the way it should be. And because of all this mirroring, etc., that we mentioned, and it kind of was taken away from them. So I really think, and we have seen through research and studies now, that there's the depression rates and anxiety rates in teenagers has skyrocketed. And of course, again, this is nothing that's here for a year and then it's going to go away again. But this is going to be something that will stick with these teenagers now in young adulthood, middle adulthood, etc. And I think it's a shame, you know, I mean, of course, I understand that their risk groups are affected and other groups, but I think teenagers have been so neglected in this, especially in Austria now. Like, teenagers are just starting to get vaccinated because it's like assumed, oh, they're young, you know, they cannot die from it, etc. But it has not been acknowledged that they're one of the groups that are the most impacted by COVID mentally.
Definitely. And if you think about, like, I mean, I had a pretty normal teenagehood and my life definitely was not a disaster. Nothing happened. I went to school. I had no serious problems. But if you think about being that age, if you remember, every little inconvenience is like the end of the world.
Yeah.
And everything that happens is so extreme and so emotional for many reasons. It's, I mean, I think it is a lot of hormonal issues, but I really think that it's almost impossible for us to really understand what they're going through because everything is so intense and so emotional. I remember I would like sob for days if somebody like ignored me or said something mean to me. And I think we really underestimate how much it's affecting, I don't know, their emotional state and their well-being.
Totally. And again,
just because we're incapable of putting ourselves back in that time. But if you really try to think about it and you try to think of yourself at that time, also with your, like, when I think about my imagination, when I used to think about like what I was going to do with my life, I always had these crazy ideas. It's hilarious that I'm saying crazy ideas because I was like, I'm going to be married at 24. I'm going to be like, hopefully he's a doctor.
Yeah.
I'm going to live on the Upper East Side. I'm going to have like a crazy career. Like, you have so many desires and hopes and like so much excitement kind of for being an adult and like for your future. And I feel like this whole pandemic and this whole year has basically been like a huge, I don't know, slap in the face for everybody that was trying to imagine this bright future for themselves. And that really makes a lot of sense and really makes it very understandable why depression comes into it and especially suicidality comes into it, because when you don't have hope and when you don't feel like there's anything to look forward to, it really triggers like a sense of depression. It's like the theme of depression.
I don't know. Again, if some of you are listening and you have siblings or cousins or acquaintances, whatever, that are teenagers, I just know from my little brother, and I don't know if he's listening, and I'm not going to share too much, obviously, but I know for a fact, and he's, you know, he's in a very privileged situation, and he has a lot of friends, and he even has a lot of space at home and stuff, but still, the past year for him during COVID was so, so hard. And I totally get it, because we take it for granted, this sense of self, and that we kind of know ourselves and we know how we react and etc. But again, when you want to kind of prove that you are mature and you're grown up and you can do everything, and as you say, having all these fantasies, having all these desires, being out all day with people, and then it's just being taken away from you through this pandemic. It's very sad. It makes me sad to think about. And I think also in that sense, it is very important that when you encounter teenagers, it sounds like they're an endangered species. No, but you know what I mean? When you talk to a
teenager. Well, they are a hated group. You gotta admit.
But this is what yes. And I have to remember, and I have to like kick myself in the butt for this. But whenever I talk to a teenager, I really think, stop for a moment, take a breath. Remember how it was at that time. It's not easy. Have empathy and understanding with them. And especially now during COVID, if you hear, I don't know, a teenager complaining or something, and you think to yourself, oh my God, you're so young, you know, what do you know? Like, you have your entire life ahead of you, whatever. Just think that this is actually a group that might be even more affected than you long term. Yeah. So try to be kind. And I'm saying this also so I remember it, because... As you say, it's a hated group, and I also struggle with teenagers.
I do too, but I'm really trying.
Yeah, because really think about it. It's not a fun age.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about my nephew now. Ugh, I feel so bad.
Yeah, see?
I'm thinking about my nephew. He's like 13. And I went to my sister's place, and I saw all of them. The rest of the kids are doing pretty good. And actually, one of the teenagers, he's also doing very well, but that's just because he had a very, very socially active life anyway, which was outside. So, like, he does a lot of sports, and I think he was able to kind of continue that. But the other one, who's a bit more introverted and a little more shy, and I think really relied on seeing people and doing things in person to have those interactions, I found out that he's like, he might fail school this year, and he might have to do the year over again because he wasn't able to complete his work. It was all remote. It was all online, and he just wasn't able to do it. And I think he probably had a really hard time. And now I feel so bad, because I thought, I was like, what an idiot. Like, he's just so lazy. And also my sister was like, he's so lazy. But it's really important to consider the other side of it. You know, he might be really struggling.
Yeah. And I think, again, we all remember being teenagers, and, now when we see teenagers, we always associate it with like, oh my God, hormones are going crazy. You know, they're so annoying and mean and rude. But let's all try to remember it's not that great being a teenager. And you might just know that when you've been through it, when it's behind you. But so maybe that's something to think about. Okay, well, I think we've talked quite a bit about adolescence. So to sum it all up, adolescence, 12 to 18 years, what a time to be alive. Let's all remember good times or not. Questionable fashion, makeup, hair choices, etc. Main conflict, identity versus role confusion, main important events, social relationships, and the outcome of this level in the video game that is life. Is fidelity.
Yeah, and I think the most important part of this stage in your life is that when you have completed it, you're able to live a successful life within a society, and it's the first time that you really see yourself as part of something bigger. When you think about being almost like you're setting yourself up to be a functioning adult, which sounds hilarious when you think about what you go through during those years, because it's definitely not adulthood or anything close to it. But I think it's really important to, like we said before, just exhaust yourself of all the cringe and get it out of the way to be able to kind of move forward. And I think it's really important to mention also that we assume that everybody has completed this phase. Totally understandable if you haven't.
Yeah.
And even when I think about it sometimes, I feel like there is a chance that I haven't completely formed my sense of identity, because I still have trouble when I think about what I represent and how I see myself or who I want to be.
So this doesn't
mean that it's over and done with. It just means that you've kind of given it a good enough go.
And it's like a certain, you lay down the groundwork.
Exactly. So you should definitely still consider your identity crisis and
the never ending identity crisis.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that is going to kind of round up our part one.
Yeah. And next week we will be back to kind of continue with Erikson's developmental stages, and we will talk about young adulthood. So 19 to 40 years.
The good times, the golden years, basically.
The golden years. And, obviously the years that we are in right now. And I think it's going to be interesting because I know we ramble a lot about our lives, obviously, but to kind of relate it back to Erikson's stages. And we hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and we hope we could like make you reminisce about your teenage years. Let us know your cringiest, like, whatever you did, actions, fashion choices, memory. What is something that makes you want to vomit? I have many, many memories. But again, I look at them, I look back at them, and I'm like, oh, cute. But thank God it is over.
Yes.
So let us know how you feel about that, and tune in next week.
Yeah. Also, just to make it clear, we did skip over all the phases before that, so that it doesn't start with adolescence, and there are many stages before that. If you want more details about those, also let us know. We can kind of share them on our Instagram or give you some information. But yeah, thanks so much for tuning in.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.